everybody. Welcome back. This is The Soul with Danielle Agnew and my co-host Roy Pack, where the psychic meets the psych major. Thanks for sticking around. We're going to be rolling through this hour with fantastic topics. Roy, what are we talking about tonight?
You said something on the last show, previous to this, just a few minutes ago, and it kind of got me thinking about, you know, the gentleman that called in, Brian. He called in and was talking about the weather patterns and what's going on out there, and it sparked a thought in my brain. My synapse actually do still fire at this age. And the synaptic gap fired and things started to happen, and it made me recall some things. A couple of research deals that I remember reading about 4 or 5 years ago. One of them had to do with water. And we all know how important water is to us, and our body's made up over 90% water. It's a thing that flows through our body. What they had done, it was an individual in Japan, and he had taken bottles of water, natural spring water, and all the bottles were the same, and they'd put different words on them. And they let them sit. And they put words like love and peace and I'm going to kill you and hate and, all kinds of stuff. And then they took them and they photographed the molecular structure in a dark field microscope. And it was distinctly different for each jar, even though the circumstances were exactly the same. The only thing different were the words that they put on the outside of the bottle. And now kind of take from that what we say about ourselves and the language that we use when we talk about ourselves. If you buy into this research that they have, and it's been duplicated numerous times by many people, think about what your words are doing to the water that's in your body. You know, what you say about yourself, what you actually speak, what you put on yourself, how is that affecting you? And to take it to an even broader scale, you know, there's a research study done, late 90s. They went to Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, and they said if we get X number of people, and it was in the thousands, to sit and meditate on just one thing for a period of time in front of the White House, they could lower the crime rate by 40%. Actually, they were saying they could lower the crime rate by 30%. In reality, they lowered it by over 40%, and the Washington, D.C. Police Department became an active participant in this project that they were doing because they'd never seen. The only time they see a crime reduction that great in the city is when it snows so bad nobody can move and get out of their house.
Well, then there's that.
They don't want to leave to go commit crimes.
Right.
And so just the power of people, what they're putting out there in the energy, and it goes even farther than that. I mean, if anybody out there that's listening is studying things like The Secret and whatnot, I know a lot of people say it really doesn't work. It really does work. There's a process to The Secret. The universe is abundant. It will give you anything you want. There's some caveats to that, though. First of all, you have to ask for it. Then the next part is you have to be ready to receive it. Now, I always get people jumping on me and say, well, I'm ready for $1 million. And I'm like, really? What would you do with it? Well, I go buy this and this and this and this. Your $1 million ain't going to last very long, is it? You're not ready. Because if someone were to give you that $1 million, if you were truly ready for it, you would know how to take that $1 million and turn it into two and then three and then four and develop assets and be set for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you were truly ready for it. So it's a matter of actually being ready for these things that you want. And if you truly want them, ask for them and be ready to receive them. The universe is abundant. Those angels out there that you were talking about, right, wrong, or indifferent, they'll give it to you.
That's absolutely right.
And if you're constantly asking for something negative in your life, guess what?
That's what you're getting.
You ask for it, you get it, buddy. It's all yours.
That's right, because they will bless you in your learning of difficulty. Congratulations, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, you asked for this, you want this, you know what? We will accommodate you, we will give it to you. It's what your deepest heart desires. So I guess there's a moral to this. Be very clear about what you're asking the universe. Speak with intent.
Yes.
You know, that's a big one. There's Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a book called The Four Agreements. And those four agreements, one of them, you know, it talks very specifically about speaking with intent. It's being impeccable with your word.
Yes.
You know, and being impeccable with your word means knowing what it is you want to say, back to what we talked about last week, owning it.
Sure.
And making sure that you own the words that you speak. and be very truthful and impeccable with those words. And if you're that way, not only what you give to other people, if you're impeccable to it, they will understand that and all that. But be that way with yourselves, people. Be impeccable with how you describe yourself. You know, what you say about yourself. What, you know, what it is you're feeling at that point in time. You know, go ahead, get up, have a shitty day. It's your prerogative. Play God. You got the power to create. Create that if you want. Everything comes crashing down on you at the end of the day. You know what? If nothing else, you can turn this around and say it's an opportunity. This has been a good thing because I learned how to deal with it. And that's maybe the only good thing you get out of it. But it's something pretty dang good.
How to deal
with that adversity. And so it's, I just want to jump in and coming in here with, you know, where you were at with the last show of what the angels are willing to give you, what the universe is willing to give you, how to properly ask for that, and how to be ready to receive those things.
Well, what's super important about what you're talking about here is there is watch what you ask for. And sometimes you might ask for something and you don't even realize that you're asking for it. What you are ruminating on mentally, what you are thinking about constantly, is going into the universe. You know, the brain is an electromagnetic organ, and that's electromagnetic signals in our synapses going off into the ethers. And this is communication. And your angels have to respond to what you're constantly thinking about or talking about or doing. They are bound by the law of free will. And so as you're saying, I will have clients come to me and say, how come my angels won't help me with this? Well, they come right back with, you know, what is the help you desire? Because in their opinion, they're helping. If you're thinking, oh my God, I'm only going to run into horrible relationships and be abused and this and that, and you keep running into abusive people and things are horrible, you know.
I get a great one for that.
Okay, go for it.
I want to be in a relationship and I want to have the perfect relationship and all men are scum.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In one
what
sentence.
What kind of relationship are you going to get? And I hear this over and over and over again. You know, I've heard it in clinical settings. I hear it on Facebook, everything else, and all of this. You know what? If that's your definition of your significant other, that they're scum, and you want to be in a relationship, guess what?
You're going to get scum, people. Yeah. You're going to get scum, okay?
You got it. You asked for it. You want it. It's there for you behind door number three.
Yeah, it's hard because we never want to be accountable for the fact that we bring certain lessons into our life. And you and I talk about accountability a ton. Mm-hmm. And yes, really rotten things do happen to good people. That does happen.
It does.
You know, and that's just chaos in action right there, mm-hmm. and randomness. Yet overall, you're right. If you're posting online, all men are scum, and I want the perfect relationship. What you're saying is, I want the perfect relationship with scum if you happen to be a heterosexual person who's a female. You know, that's what you're telling the universe, and that's confusing. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder, well, why isn't it working out? Well, hello. Take that off of Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Quit reading it. Quit writing it. Quit saying it. Quit thinking it. Let's start looking out there and say, there's a lot of good people in the world that can be my partner.
Yes.
And keep saying, there's a lot of good people out there in the world that can be my partner. There's a lot of good people out there in the world. One of them is going to be your partner.
That's right.
Okay. that's just how it is. You know, if you keep, you know, perpetuating that, you know, the negative and the history and everything else that you've been through, that's what you're going to get over and over and over again.
You know, and the most poignant thing about this is notice, you guys, how Roy is talking about you. If you propagate this, you will receive. The buck stops with us.
I'm not going to do it. This is one time I will not use the term I. I am not going to do that.
Well, right. Exactly. I mean, it's a measure of when we're talking about a spiritual accountability and we're talking about our angels, and our angels must respond. If they're going to respond to us, it has to be off of something that we have requested. It will tip the balance of free will and too many timelines for angels to enact any sort of agenda. And that's not really their thing anyway. They got bigger fish to fry and they just don't think like that. So for us, and I see this with clients as well, Roy, they will sit down and they will say, well, I just want a lot of money. So am I going to win the lottery? Now, here's the thing. What they just told the universe is, I can't earn money. It must be given to me. I want a lot of money. Am I going to win the lottery? because something in that person's spiritual makeup is got a limitation consciousness saying that I cannot draw income to myself.
I would take it one level further. If they're saying, am I going to, there's something in the back of their mind that says, you're not going to get that.
Yeah. Am I going to win the lottery? Yeah.
Otherwise, they would be saying, I'm going to win the lottery.
Absolutely.
They would be very definite about that. They'd be saying, I am going to. And that's a really important thing. And that has to do with language. You hear me talk a lot about language, how we speak, and the whole formula with that. How we think influences how we speak. It's like math. It works backwards. You can subtract. If we change the way we speak, it changes the way we think. And I hear people all the time say, oh, you know, when this happens, you always feel this way. And I look at them, I say, no, I don't. No, I don't. But a more accurate statement would be, when this happens, I always feel this way. That's owning it. That's taking accountability. It's using that term I and quit generalizing with the word you for other people when you're speaking about how you really feel, how you see things, you know, how I see things, how I feel. You'll never hear me use the word you ever because I'm owning it. I'm totally owning it. I may just be a freak. I may be the only one that feels that way. Or I may be talking to someone else that says, yeah, I feel that way too. And then it's ownership and connections happen just from that one little change from the word you that everybody loves to use and generalize and think that everybody else feels the same way they do to saying I. And
absolutely.
When they say, I feel this way or I think this way or I experience this, then people are going to go, wow, I experienced that too. Then you got the next step. And when I experienced that, I did this or I did this. It really changes the way things become then and the way things are seen. It's really cool to see it happen.
It absolutely is. It is the spiritual physics of ownership. And mm-hmm. that's something that folks, we're getting away from that. You and I talk a lot on this show about mm-hmm. accountability. We talk about some of our virtual devices and how this interrupts person-to-person communication. Yep. When we are taking the I message, words have weight. They do have spiritual weight, actually. The vibration of words in the spiritual universe, as you set up this entire topic with the demonstration that putting a word on water that is a negative word nets a negative water reaction under the microscope, as opposed to a puffy, fluffy water reaction with a lovely word on the water under the microscope. And we need to be aware. We don't need to do anything, but it would benefit us greatly to be aware of the fact that words have weight, you guys. And again, lots of religious texts talk about this. It talks about how words will hurt way, way worse than any kind of topical injury that we possibly could have, because words cut the spirit. They cut the psyche. They cut the emotionality. They cut areas within ourselves that are so difficult to find. And sometimes we don't even know we have them until mm-hmm. we've been run through with a word. And then we're pulling the barb of the word out through layers of emotionality that we didn't even realize. So yes, watch what comes out of your mouth and even in your head, because it has spiritual weight.
Yeah. Here's taking it to another level. That whole experiment with the water was taken to a whole nother level. And it was done with growing rice in Japan. And there was a really cool thing done where they grew, this one family changed the experiment though. They took their little pots and they grew their rice and they had love and peace and hate and anger on them. And, you know, those are the things they give to those. Then there was one they didn't put any word on at all. They didn't pay any attention to it. They didn't talk to it. They didn't do nothing. They ignored it completely. The ones that had positive things on them flourished. The ones that had negative things on them still grew, but somewhat deformed. The one that got indifference, that got nothing, turned black and withered. Oh. Even though it was getting the same water, the same nutrients, the same everything, it just withered from the indifference. So we need input. You know, there's a part of it that needs input, whether it's spiritual input, whether it's mental input from other people, things like that. We need that. And we'll gladly accept positive or negative. It doesn't matter which. You know, we'll take both, because input is what we have to keep growing, to keep moving forward. And the most negative thing is just total indifference. That's a painful thing.
Oh, it's very painful. It is. I think many of us have been in situations where we've been on the other end of someone's complete and total indifference.
I'm not talking to you. You're not my friend anymore.
I know you are, but what am I? okay. The silent treatment, the indifference.
The silent treatment.
What's been fascinating is if the spiritual physics of what we're talking about, of indifference, you know, I'm fascinated by mistranslations, biblical mistranslations, for the purpose of controlling the masses, one of which was the word hate in the Bible. Actually, when the Bible was written, the cultural application of the word hate did not exist. The word was Greek, and it was meteo, and it meant to have indifference towards. Mm-hmm. It did not mean to viciously put all this information of anger into a data stream of hatred. It didn't mean that. It meant to have indifference toward.
Well, if you think back, you know, if you look back into an Aboriginal culture and ancient cultures, the worst punishment anybody could have is to be ostracized and cast out.
Cast out, yeah. Cast out from the village.
That is the worst punishment, to go be alone. You can't talk to anybody. Nobody will talk to you. You are not part of any of this anymore. That is the worst punishment that they could give somebody. It was worse than death.
Well, yeah. And even now, I mean, we can take that, you're right, and it's horrible because human beings are built on a platform of creation and connection, mm-hmm. connection. And if we look at even how upset people will become over something as goofy as not even getting a Facebook response in time, and that's a whole different issue altogether. But we're looking at response time. And there are people that I know that use Facebook as their entire social life because they can't get out. They can't. They're sick. They're ill. They are maybe disabled in one way or the other. And so that is their connection. And when that lapses for them, it has a similar effect. Energy does, I mean, it's best, in my opinion, it's best face-to-face. Yet energy can be transmitted in many ways. And it's fascinating to watch what happens to people, even from a virtual aspect, when we back off of that exchange.
I like putting a lot of energy forth and going to see people that I want to talk to and communicating with them, driving halfway across the country, getting on a plane and flying somewhere just to go visit somebody and putting the effort into it and a journey getting there. And that I could talk to them on Facebook. I could talk to them right now on Facebook.
Right.
But to actually get in a car and drive for 17 hours to go visit a friend, or to have them come and do that. Just, I've had friends do that. I was bored and wanted to see you. Thought I'd come out here, check things out for a little while, see what you're up to. And they would drive all the way from, you know, Georgia to Buffalo, Wyoming to come visit, you know.
That's awesome. Well, you know, when you were living down in Wyoming, that was kind of, everybody loved to come just visit you. You had a great place to visit.
Yeah, and Wyoming's kind of weird. It's a, there's only, if you people out there don't know anything about Wyoming, there's only like 500,000 people in the entire state. It's one of the larger land masses in the 48 states. And it really is a small town with really long streets. I know somebody in every single town in Wyoming. And I'm related to quite a few people in every single town in Wyoming.
that's the glory of being from Wyoming right there.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, most suburbs of a big city are twice or three times the size of Wyoming in population, crammed into a few square miles. You know, you got 25 square miles with 3 million people living in it, you know.
You know, it's funny. You talk about driving somewhere and making the effort to see someone. And actually, and you knowing all these people around Wyoming. And what listeners may not know about you is obviously, if they haven't caught on already about this, about you, I would be surprised. You are all about human connection, Roy.
Mm-hmm. And very much so.
Very much. And
on both, I want to say an analog level, like we're talking and stuff, but then a spiritual level with energy and connecting too.
Yes.
You know, connecting that way as well. It's very important.
It's very important, and without it, we wither. And like you pointed out, the rice that got nothing will die. And that's when we isolate the self. Darkness loves that, and there is chaotic darkness, just like there's fabulous light. There's a little of everything out there. Darkness loves it when we isolate, because when we isolate, we choose. We choose to unplug. We choose to disconnect. When we choose that, all of our angelic hosts, they have to just sit there and go, well, okay, congratulations. You are learning the lesson of isolation, and you're doing a darn fine job, and everybody's talking about it. So they can't really interfere in that choice. Your better bet in that case is hoping to God a friend will call or drop in or interrupt the cycle of isolation. As we isolate, like, we don't want to be the black, yucky crispy rice, man. That's bad.
What's really cool is I got, and I'm going to go into that area you say I don't normally talk about much. I've got a few friends that it's really cool because when we want to communicate or I want to talk to them, I just go be with them. I might be laying in bed. I might be wherever. I just, boom, I'm there. And the interesting thing is they've tuned into that they can feel when I'm doing it. I'll get a phone call and they're like, what are you doing, Roy? I can feel you here. Or, you know, I'll get a message from or something and they'll be dealing with something. I'll be like, you know, let's take a few minutes here and just take a few minutes, relax here. And I'm going to do a few things and then give me a call and you'll know when to call me. And, you know, 30 minutes, an hour later, whatever, I get a call and they're like, what was that? I felt tingly all over and things kind of changed and, you know, my vision got blurry and then cleared up and all kinds of stuff like that. So, yeah, I've kind of gotten lazy in a way. I just leave my body and go.
Well, yeah, it saves gas, man. Yeah. Gas is expensive. If you can just astral travel to somebody and say, hey, I need to call you. You know, when I was living down in Los Angeles, this is the funniest story. I would be down, very busy doing some stuff I was doing in entertainment at that time. And I would just get this feeling that I should probably call you for something because obviously we own 10 Star Records together. And so it's like, okay, well, I should probably call you and ask you about whatever. So I would call and then here you'd pick up and laugh. And you'd say, oh my God, I'm just sitting here talking about you with so-and-so or, you know, and whatever. Or I was just thinking about whatever. So when we allow, but you allow yourself to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. You allow it to happen. And a lot of people don't allow that. They don't allow this, they don't allow themselves to connect. They don't allow themselves to extend outward. And that's too bad because that limits us greatly.
Did you hear me creating that electromagnetic field just now?
Yeah, I did. That little buzz.
That, yeah, that was kind of weird. Now I'm questioning this thing.
Oh, my God. Roy is vaping over here in case you're wondering what he's doing. Oh, my God. That thing is crazy. Look at the little display. Just went crazy, too. And that's now I'm questioning the electromagnetic field. Yeah, you might want to. I'm kind of worried about that, dude. Yikes. Wow. Vape responsibly, but vape safely. Oh, my God.
Maybe I'll have to do some tests with it and adjust the ohms and the voltage and everything to where I don't get that noise on the microphone. Then I'll know I got it right.
You know, you're a Virgo and only you would do that.
I would.
Just tweak it. I'd be like, well, I just should take a breath of it over here and then come back over here. So, yeah. Because
I like to know how things work.
Yeah, you do.
All kinds of things.
Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do. But that's what this show, I've gotten a lot of great feedback about it because people love to listen to how you break things down. And I love to listen how you break things down. You and I have had a lot of conversations on a lot of decks out underneath a lot of stars about life, about all kinds of different trajectories. And connection, human connection, mm-hmm. is something that we need to foster because I find we're getting away from that. And we're also, it's so weird. I'll have clients come in and sit down and say, I've had a really bad day and I can't get my life on track and nothing's working out. And I'm thinking and I'm looking and all I am seeing is them on a hamster wheel doing the exact same thing and interfacing with no one. So I'll mention that and I'll say, gosh, it doesn't look like you have a lot of interaction in your life. And immediately they come forward and they say, well, I'm just kind of waiting for the right time to really hook up. Waiting for what? For someone to come in and save you from yourself? I mean, what is that?
Waiting to die in a retirement home alone.
Oh, God. That's just dreadful. Wah, wah.
Yeah. You know, I just thought about something when you were talking about, you know, breaking things down. And when I was building my house, I hired a bunch of carpenters to come and work for me and everything. And there's one carpenter, and he said something to me one day, and it was pretty apropos that this came from a carpenter. And no, Jesus was not a carpenter. They didn't have any wood back there. He was a stonemason. But anyway, we won't get into that. Read your Greek. This carpenter comes up to me and he says, you know what, Roy? Life is pretty simple if you just think about it a little bit. But not too much.
Don't overthink it, man.
You know what? He was right.
Yes.
You know, it's pretty simple if you just think about it a little bit.
Yes.
You know, just stay away from the mental masturbation. It does no purpose. It don't overthink it. It really is simple.
You know, we get so consumed. This last weekend, I had a forum that was down at Barjon's Books, and it was about release and how to release of the self. And one of the things I thought was so interesting about that forum is one of the big things that, as I'm channeling this angelic message stuff and talking and whatnot, that was brought forward was that someone asked in the crowd, what is the difference between, I think it's your electromagnetic signals buzzing over there.
Shut me off. Yeah. It turned me off.
I'm interrupting myself. I'm watching you on the microphone over there, and you started to...
I have electronics here that are getting turned off by... Apparently,
see, that's the tech angel. That's like, dude, no, that's buzzing.
Okay, I'll put it down.
There you go.
I'll put it down. It's not supposed to be on. It's bad for me right now. I'll leave it off.
There you go. See, and Nat is stepping back and watching what's supposed to happen in your life.
I'll drink water instead.
There you go.
A little bit of lemon in it and some raw unfiltered sugar.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah. Oh, God. Lord in heaven. So anyway, back to this forum. We're sitting there, and somebody actually asks me, what is ego? And what's the difference between ego and spirituality and spiritual purpose? It was actually a really fascinating question. And they broke it down to, ego. And they defined it as this garment that we construct made of patchwork pieces of costumes, in essence, was the translation, of outfits that we've tried on over time. And we have this garment that we wrap ourselves in. And instead of seeing the design inside in the spirit, we commit to the identity of the garment on the outside. And what's fascinating about that to me is when we're talking about design and we're talking about connection, if we really believe we're the garment that is patched together from many former identities of the self, then you can't teleport and meet somebody because that coat's not going to stretch from here to there. The spirit is eternal. A garment, a coat isn't. It's going to rip if I try to astral project it over across many states to, reach out to you with the ego. The spirit doesn't falter in that same way. And so when we're talking about releasing connection and all of these ideals and the word hate, which isn't even the word hate, the word Mateo, which means to just be indifferent towards, we're talking about dynamics that have to do with connection and growth. Mm-hmm. And identity. And if I decide that I'm somebody who can't connect with you because I'm stupid or I'm lame or I can't pick up the phone or I'm busy or I am creating a garment that I'm wearing that is a wrong ideal or an ego ideal of what my needs are. And pretty soon I'm becoming the Nike swoosh on my chest. I'm not just being who I am. I'm being the brand I've created. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into how not to be a brand and how to be a brand. How can you be a brand in a healthy way? How not to be a brand in an unhealthy way? You are listening to The Soul with Danielle Agnew and Roy Pack.
There's a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years.
And it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
At Soul Sync Body Work in downtown Billings, we're here to unlock your deepest relaxation potential with a combination treatment. Two practitioners at once for the price of one. Licensed massage therapist and Celtic tonal healer Marsha Reichert bathes you in the energy of hot stone massage and vocal tones, while holistic reflexologist Craig Harris relieves the tension in your day with a relaxing foot rub. Call Soul Sync Body Work for your appointment today at 281-0135 or visit soulsyncbodywork.com.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
Hi, Danielle Agnew here. Some people call me a psychic, others a medium, but at the end of the day, I'm just a person who works with my spiritual abilities with the intention of helping people. Reputable psychics are here to help you, not to convince you that you need them. If you find yourself too dependent on consulting a psychic for answers, it's time to take a step back. No one else but you holds the power to change your life, so trust yourself. For more information on how spiritual abilities work in our everyday life, visit the facts page on my website at danielleagnew-advisor.com.
At Rendell Marketing, we understand that your career and your projects are your life. We offer affordable monthly packages to drive traffic to your social media pages, boosting your Twitter followers, Facebook likes, and YouTube views in large numbers. Large numbers play a large part in getting you in front of the people who want what you have to offer. Visit us today at RenvilleMarketing.com. That's R-E-N, V as in Victor, I-L-L-E, marketing.com.
I never believed in ghosts. I always kind of wondered, oh, there's got to be some explanation, you know, until now.
Recent Gallup polls show that 90% of Americans have either experienced some paranormal activity or believe it exists.
You have to be very careful on what you're tampering with.
Their shadow passed between the boards and the window. Did you see that?
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Soul with Danielle Agnew and Roy Pack. And we are talking about everything under the sun today. I want to encourage you, if you do have a call that you want to make to us, 406-545-4496. If you want to talk about reaching out, if you want to talk about reaching out to somebody and maybe you've had problems with it, or maybe somebody didn't respond well, or maybe you're not sure how to reach out, or maybe you don't know how to stop having negative self-talk. We've covered a lot of topics so far. Give us a call, area code 406-545-4496. Don't be shy. Hop in. Roy and I love to take calls. We love to take callers. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We do.
We do. And until we get a call, we do. I want to know what your opinion is on the identity that we establish for ourselves, because I think this has everything to do with reaching out or not reaching out to people.
We're doing this again. I've already got an answer for that because I've been sitting here thinking about it, the identity. I'm going to go back to your term ego. And I'm going to give a little bit different perspective on what ego is or what ego can be. Ego is the way we see ourselves and what we believe about ourselves and how much we embrace that thing about ourselves. But when we talk about people having a big ego, things like that, it's that they've embraced themselves so much that they're not getting reflection from other people. And they've defined themselves by how they see themselves rather than getting feedback from other people in how other people see them, you know. So that's where that whole self-absorption and everything comes in of ego. And so I'd almost want to use the term ego instead.
Okay,
and
sure.
And talk about that. And, you know, just say that's self-perception, how we see ourselves. We get that from a lot of things. But mainly we get it from what's reflected back to us. So are we looking in a mirror that's cracked, that's old and withered? Are we looking at other people for that reflection? Are the other people around us our reflection?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
that's
God. There it is.
That's a big one.
Yep.
Right
that
there.
Is. Yep.
Ooh. That is a big one. And for most, the other people around us are the reflection of who we are.
Ooh.
It really is. It's just a mirror. It's all just a mirror. But the cool thing about it is we can change it.
And how? Okay, give for the folks listening, and I can feel listeners listening. I can feel them going, "Oh my God!" So I'm around, like, you know, blah blah blah, and these people are not very nice. And is that a mirror? How do you change something like that?
You know, I'm gonna put my life coaching hat on here for a minute.
Nice. Very nice.
Go into life Go coaching mode on how to do that, because that's a question that comes up in life coaching quite a bit. The easiest way to do it, and people talk about climbing a corporate ladder, climbing a social ladder, climbing things like that. You know, if you're in a space where you really don't like that and you want to move out of it, whether it's up, sideways, whatever, I don't like to think of it as a ladder,
well,
but
sure.
You want to move out of it. Go look for people that have what you want. Be around them. Eventually, they will show you how to get the same things they have. If you want to move farther, take it to the next level. Once you have all those things, go find other people that you don't know that are out there and start hanging around with them, start making friends with them, and eventually you will become like them. And then just, it never quits. It keeps going. The hardest part, though, is leaving your comfort zone, getting outside of your little box. And, you know, I seen a deal on Facebook someone sent to me one time, and it was just beautiful because it had this little bitty box on the left-hand side of the screen. It says, this is your comfort zone. And on the right-hand side, it had this great big huge circle. And inside of the circle, it said, this is where the magic happens.
Oh, my God. I love that. That's awesome.
Get out of your box, move into the circle, and go where the magic happens. Now, there's some easy ways to do that, you know, depending on what community you're in, things like that, what your interests are. You like music? Okay, you can go to the bar and you can go see a band. Please support your local music. I love to see people doing that. Doesn't mean you have to go get drunk, be stupid, or anything like that.
Sure.
Or even hang out with the people that you normally hang out with. How about a symphony? Go hang out at a symphony.
Oh, that's...
Hang out afterwards for a glass of wine and a little bit of cheese and sausage. You know, do something like that. There's other events going on. There's a cause that you kind of like. And you feel strongly about it. If you check around, somebody is doing something with that cause. Eventually, they're going to have a get-together, and you're going to get together with those people, and they're going to be talking about the cause, and they're going to start organizing what can we do to end this and make life better.
Yes.
Guess what? They're going to carry you along on the wave. They're going to point you in the direction that the water's flowing. You're going to ride that wave out. You're going to make something else better. You're going to make yourself better at the same time. So get out of your comfort zone, people. You know, really, get out of your comfort zone. And, you know, if you're warm and happy where you're at, then by all means, stay there. If it's a totally miserable place, but you're comfortable with that, hey, stay there. I hate to say it, people. I don't care.
You sound like angelic life. Whatever you want to do, man, whatever you want to do.
And on the same time, if you want to get out of that and move on to something else, you know, we can look at that and we can look at what the resources are around you in your community and take a look at those resources, the things that are possible for you to do. And how do we utilize those resources, get you connected into them, tied into them, and start moving you into a different social crowd that has the things that you desire. Then once you get, I guarantee you, once you make that move to that, you're going to start looking around. You're going to want more because you're going to want to learn more. You're going to experience more. And pretty soon, before you know it, you're whittled down to about 6 really close friends that will always support you, a couple hundred acquaintances that you actually do talk to
on
a regular basis, and you're out there in the community and whatnot, and you wind up with, I remember the first time someone came up to me and said, "Wow, Roy, it's so glad to meet you. I've always wanted to meet you, but I was really afraid to." And I looked down and I'm like, why would you be afraid to meet me? I mean, really, why? I didn't understand it. And it was because they had seen me as being so separated from their social group and where they were at in life that they didn't know how to get outside of their box and go over where the magic's happening.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
It's sad that we think that magic belongs to other people. And it's sad that we forget that we have to initiate our life path. And like you said, we have to take the step out of the box into the circle. Life isn't going to do that for us. Nobody's going to do that but you guys. We have to make those steps. And to change nothing changes nothing.
And, you know, on the flip side of that experience, when they told me that, I'm like, wow, that's an odd thing to say. I'm not anybody special. I'm just doing something here. I'm doing what I'm enjoying. I'm doing what I'm doing at the moment.
But that's very you, though. And see, this is a Zen thing. You do what you're doing in the moment in you. And I got this from you, and I pass this on to clients, is sometimes you need to step back in your life and just watch what's trying to happen. What is trying to happen, not what you're trying to orchestrate or trying to illustrate. And that was a concept that you imparted years ago to me. Just watch what's trying to happen and just flow with it.
If it's a good thing, help it happen. If it's not a good thing, step away from it. That's within your power. Yeah, and actually, in doing that, I remember the story. It's about this bridge, and there's and I'm very Taoist and things. There's a Taoist sage on the bridge and a Buddhist monk, and they're standing there, and they're looking over the bridge at the fish in the water, and this passerby comes by, and he looks over the side of the bridge at the fish in the water, and pretty much they're all swimming upstream, and he asks a question. He says, why did the fish always do that? Why did they always swim upstream that way? And the Buddhist monk turns around and says, because that is the way. And the Taoist turns around and says, because that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because that is what they're doing right now.
But they're totally aware of it.
Yes.
They're totally aware of what they're doing right now. And the observers, Big one. The observers are totally aware of what they're doing, even though the fish didn't know they were being observed.
Isn't that, now that's kind of creepy if you think about that one. It's like, oh my God,
who are the observers? And I'm not talking NSA or any of that kind of stuff,
right?
You know, who are the observers? They're your spiritual guides or your observers.
Yes.
You know, spiritual guides, angels, whatever you want to call it, they're your observers. Your family may or may not be observers. Your friends may or may not be observers, but there are people in the community that are seeing you.
Oh, that's true.
Without a doubt. And, you know, they're aware of what you're doing. It might be a good idea to be aware of what you're doing yourself at that point in time.
Yes, always be self-aware. Yeah. It is less embarrassing in a later time.
Yes, it is.
Good God.
Don't go walking around with the toilet paper stuck in your shoe when you know, leave the bathroom at the restaurant, and don't walk through life like that. Everybody's going to go, wow, look at that guy. Look at that girl.
Don't be walking with TP Dragon.
Or you're just stuck in your panties. I've actually seen that. It's hilarious as well.
I've had that happen. I have come out very seriously trying to look fabulous out of a great big meeting. Came out, had my entire, it was a long skirt too. This skirt and everything just tucked right up into the back of my nylons. It was fabulous. They were tights actually. And I was like, thank God they were tights because that would have been real bad. But I'm like, okay, yeah, I've got my Nellie Olson on here, people. This is awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, a little humble pie. Sometimes we get served whenever, you know, we're trying to be on a diet with it. No, here's your humble pie. Here, eat this up. It's good for you.
I love it. I love it because people are clueless when they do that. And can I throw out my deviant side?
Well, sure.
I haven't owned a TV since 1998. Because people are an endless source of amusement and entertainment for me.
You know, I have heard this from many people, that they'll just watch people instead.
Oh, I love it. It's fascinating. It's stimulating. And I'm not making fun of people or anything. I enjoy it. I go to the park and, I go to the park with my daughter and I'll play with her for a while. And I sit back and I watch her and the other kids play. I'll watch the other parents. It's entertaining. You know, walking down the street, it's entertaining.
Walking down the road.
Especially on Montana Avenue at 1:30 in the morning, right before the bars close.
Oh, God.
That's very entertaining.
That is, you know, okay, now for those listeners at other parts of the world, Montana Avenue is a very historic area here in Billings, which the mtradio.net studios are located. And it's a really cool old historic area. And it's now a very popular area with clubs and art galleries and fabulous restaurants. And, of course, it's the old renovated part of town. And on a Friday or Saturday night, when people are pretty twisted up in their own fun, it becomes, especially the Rainbow down there, good heavens, the Rainbow Bar, it really becomes a little bit colorful. As far, no pun intended with the rainbow, but as far as just people watching. And, you know, from a spiritual perspective, I wish I was more of a people watcher. I really do. I tend to automatically boil things down to the base spiritual need, which is generally either love or fear. And then I'm like bored after 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, really? You're out of fear. You're out of fear. You're out of love. You're out of fear. You're out of fear. You're out of love. You're out of fear. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with this.
I'm gonna blow what people are probably thinking about. One of the most wonderful nights of people watching down there that I experienced, and it was with you. And let's see, I wound up shooting a music video.
That's right.
We both got to play with a little impromptu band on the deck at a bar.
Yep, that was cool.
We made some new friends that night. That was the first night that you hadn't seen your cousin in years, and I met him that night, and here's this guy sitting down outside of the Rainbow Bar playing a banjo.
Banjo.
Playing, he calls it metal grass on this banjo, doing things I'd never seen done on a banjo before. It totally molested that thing. It was beautiful.
It was awesome.
And, you know, and just watching all the things like that, it was just amazing. And why would I need a TV or anything? It was so entertaining.
Well, you know, and you bring up a really good point. Like, all fun and aside, there is so much more interesting aspects to a daily, to our daily life and to what we're doing, when we had the opportunity to actually go and sit, my cousin Luke was sitting on the ground and just literally butt on the sidewalk, legs straight out in front of him with a banjo. And he was going to town on that banjo. And he's really, really good player. As a matter of fact, he plays in a band called the Deadnecks. And they're on Farmageddon Records, which is Hank the Third's label up in West Yellowstone. And so he's really crazy talented.
Hank is in Hank Williams the Third.
Yes, Hank Williams the Third. Hank the Third. Thank you very much. So Hank the Third. So he's up there doing his thing. And Luke, I remember putting some money in his case because I'm like, dude, this is insane. You're picking like amazingly. And that same night, because we stepped out of the box and we went and talked to a bunch of different musicians that were younger, you know, and I did a bunch of stuff with Pope Jane, and a lot of them wouldn't even know who that was because they were much younger. They could have been my kids, most of these musicians. So it was so fun to actually get an opportunity to sit there and watch their experience and what they were producing and connect with them at that moment. As the Taoist would say, what are you doing? Connecting in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're, you know, a lot of the entertainment community is very based on, well, I will talk to you to get this.
Yeah. I'm going to stop you right there for a second. For people, I know we got listeners out there and whatnot. I want someone to call in and tell me what they're doing right now in the moment.
Cool.
I want somebody to call and tell us what they're doing right now in the moment. 406-545-4496. Give us a call. Let us know what you're doing right now in the moment.
I love it. Yeah. Let's survey what you're doing right now in the moment. Being in the moment actually sets up the rest of your life, by the way. Yep. So
it's just a series of moments, one after another.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, maybe we've got some shy people. Maybe they don't want to talk about what they're doing in the moment.
But are they in their box?
I hope not. Step out of the box and into the circle. Out of the box, into the circle.
Yeah. I want someone to call up. Let us know. 406-545-4496. Give us a call. Let us know what you're doing right now in the moment. Come outside the box. Share it with the world. And no, we can't. Well, I can see you, but nobody else in here can, I don't think.
I can see you. I can see you, but no one else. I'm not going to look because I'm a psychic who minds my own business. Thank you very much. That just gets busy in my world if you don't. God. It's like, you know, really, people will ask me that. Well, you're a psychic, and do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know what I'm thinking half the time. Seriously. To be a psychic that doesn't mind your own business is like breaking out a windshield and then driving 120 miles down the freeway. It's just full frontal air, too much stimulation. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that you turn it off. You just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, you just turn the louvre lines, you know. It's still light outside, but you don't need to see.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to see absolutely everything right now.
It's kind of scary sometimes.
What is scary?
Just being able to feel what's going on with people.
It's
not so much scary as it is unnerving.
It's unnerving if they're unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, and you and I have sat there and talked about this a great deal, and you are very intuitive, and we've talked about people and their waves of discontent. And on the last show on Sight Unseen, we talked, of course, about how vibes affect the weather, and vibes will affect a workplace, people's attitudes. You can literally spiritually pollute someplace being too rotten or too negative. And I think it's important we know that because, again, if you are somebody who picks things up, if you're an empath and that's somebody who experiences a lot of emotionality, then you're going to be feeling these nasty, rotten vibes all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that gets really tough after a while.
Sorry, choking.
That's all right. That's how you know it's live.
Well, and, you know, we've always been places where we've been for a walk through the woods or in a park or something like that, or drove through a certain area and just things felt different.
Yeah.
They felt different. And I don't know of anybody that hasn't experienced that. It's the same thing.
Walk into a room, it's cold or it's weird, or the hackles on your neck feel up, or you just feel strange.
Yeah. It's just the energy of that area. That's all it is. And, you know, don't be afraid of it. It's something very normal, and it's out there. I mean, it's like walking under a magnet.
You know, oh, yeah. That's a weird.
That's basically all it is.
That is very strange.
Yep.
When you're walking under, I'm walking under a magnet. Hey, what is my deal with really, really lame augmentations of 80s songs today? This started about an hour and a half ago. And
I was listening to Cyndi Lauper on the way here.
Right.
Do an interview. It's nationwide. Really lame 80s stuff.
It must be what I'm picking up. Okay, so this is happening nationwide. I'm picking
on NPR.
Oh my god! Okay. Yeah, I'm picking up weird 80s.
Which made
stuff.
Me think that I need to have you contact one of your friends for my other show for me.
Yes, I should. I absolutely should. And say, by the way, here's a wonderful opportunity for an interview for the Earthship. And when is the Earthship on, so people can hear you on the Earthship?
Oh, the Earthship. That is Thursday nights, and we haven't quite made this change yet, but we're getting ready to 8 o'clock Thursday or 8:30 Thursday. Nights.
Fabulous. Hello, caller. You are on The Soul with Danielle and Roy. What are you doing right now? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Brian from Michigan. I actually called your earlier show. I was waiting to see if someone else would call in and accept Roy's challenge, but I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do it myself.
Right on, Brian.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. So tell me right now, aside from talking to us, you're doing what you're doing, and it's probably more than just sitting there and talking on the phone, but what are you doing right now? What are you doing today? What is your life at the moment? Today, life, whatever, you decide. You tell us, what are you doing?
Multitasking to the extreme.
Do you do that every day?
Sometimes, yes.
What is your, and that's a better part of America right now, or Western civilization, multitasking to the extreme. We're kind of expected to do that. What do you do when you shut down and you don't multitask? How do you stop it? What are your tools for stopping it? You still with us? Oh, I think we lost him.
Aww. I thought he was just giving a very thoughtful pause to what he does for, to stop. And I thought maybe you stumped him.
Oh,
but
I'm not sure what happened.
Well, maybe we lost his call. Well, shoot. Well, that's an interesting question, though. What do you do to stop it if you're multitasking? Brian from Michigan calls in. He is a crazy multitasking fiend. And today, and what do you do to stop it, Roy, if you're multitasking? Because you are a crazy multitasker. When you get on multitask mode, you're all over it.
Oh, man, that's a good question. God, is there anything I do that isn't multitasking? I spent 3.5 months this summer whitewater rafting, but that's pretty well multitasking, too, so that doesn't count. In the 1980s, I tried lots of drugs. That didn't stop it.
Then we got Brian back here. Hey there, you are on The Soul with Danielle and Roy. What's your name, where are you calling from, and what you doing right now?
Hi, this is Brian calling back. I'm not sure what happened. I could hear both of you on the phone, but for some reason you couldn't hear me.
Weird. Okay, so in answer to, or rather, giving you an opportunity to answer Roy's question of what do you do to slow down the multitasking, Brian?
I turn off both computers, I turn off the cell phone, I turn off the TV, and I play with the dog.
Nice.
Do you know how many people would go into total hysterics if you suggested that to them?
Oh, absolutely. The people are just glued to their phones and their computers, and it goes back to what you were talking about earlier about not connecting. And Danielle, you mentioned that we're drifting away from that, and the technology. I've always found it very ironic that the technology that's meant to enhance communication actually inhibits it on many levels.
Oh, without a doubt. I started looking at that back in the 90s, mid-90s or so. My kids kind of joked that I was the only guy in Billings that actually had internet that the kids could get on. They'd come over. And I noticed right away that the people's communication changed when they were doing chat rooms and things like that because they were safe behind this box. If someone didn't like what they said, instead of getting punched in the face and a fat lip, they just had to turn off the box. That's all they had to do. And they could get away with anything, and there was no emotional connect. There was no reaction for what they were doing. There was no cause and effect with it there. So that's great. Describe what kind of dog do you got? I want to hear about your relationship with your dog.
Purebred blue-eyed Siberian Husky.
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
People literally stop their cars on the road and ask me if he's a wolf.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yep. I used to have a Husky and Wolf cross and it got the same reaction. And you really can't tell the difference between a purebred and the crosses. So how...
Actually, there is a way.
Ooh, what is that way?
Well, the giveaway usually is the yellow eyes.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, Huskies can only have blue eyes or brown eyes. Some have one of each. It's a trait of the breed. And the giveaway would be any dog that is more than 50% wolf or has at least 50% wolf. If I remember correctly, someone might be able to tell me for sure, but the dog will have yellow eyes.
You are absolutely correct. The eyes are the only giveaway. Your Huskies will have the blue or brown eyes, definitely. So how is... do you mind if I ask some personal questions here? And
sure, why not?
How is your emotional relationship with your dog? How do you guys connect?
Really, he doesn't even have to bark. He just looks at me. I just look at him, or you know, he'll come into my office and let me know that it's time to get up. We go walking at least twice a day, and he gets me out of the chair.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I used to say something about one of my dogs, this big old black dog, Fred. And Fred was a really mellow dog. He was a Belgian sheepdog and Newfoundland cross. He was just huge. And for the longest time, I kept saying, I want to be more like him.
More like Fred?
More like Fred.
Right on.
More like Fred. And it was really funny because I didn't realize how much I had tried to become more like him until this one day this girl that I didn't even know from Germany, we were doing some hiking, she stopped and she's petting with Fred and stuff and we're talking and whatnot. And she looks at me and she says, your dog Fred, he's a lot like you.
Oh, wow.
And it never even dawned on me how the relationship, how tight that was between me and him. Do you get that same kind of relationship?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things he does when, what does he do when he's upset with you?
He'll usually find if I leave a sock laying around, he'll go rip it up.
He'll go rip it up? Mine would take one piece of garbage out of the garbage, usually a piece of paper, and he would tear it up. And that was it.
Mine used to do that, but he doesn't really do that anymore. He's more after the socks.
More after the socks?
Oh, that's funny.
That is. The animals are so amazing. They really are, and they're wonderful to connect with. And sounds like you have a very good one there that you've connected with, without a doubt. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your dog's name?
Zeus.
Zeus,
that's awesome.
Power, definite power. Good.
Well, and it's a sexy name for a sexy dog, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just cool. Zeus, the super blue-eyed, purebred Siberian Husky. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a Harry Potter's dog or something. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Danielle, you know, if you look at my Facebook, you can see a picture of him there. He's there. There's pictures of him.
Oh, fabulous. I will most absolutely definitely do that because I love people's animals. You know, I had a Pomeranian for years and years and years, and that Pomeranian knew me inside and out. I never taught her what the meaning of excuse me was. I just went up to sit on the bed one day, and she was sitting there, and I said, excuse me, and she got up and moved and sat. I mean, we had an unbelievable understanding, and we take our dogs, talk about people watching. They watch our physical movement. They watch our energetic movement. They feel what we're doing with one another. Dogs are an amazing, if you guys are listening out there and you don't know how to connect with another person, watch your dog. Dogs are amazing at connecting with people. And you think that the people are good at connecting with dogs? No. The dogs connect with people. We struggle through our own emotional issues. The dogs overlook it, and they just love on us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely, without a doubt. So how are we doing on time here?
We're about ready to wrap out, actually, about down to 1 minute. Brian, thank you for calling. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling back. It's lovely that you called in all the way from Michigan. Thanks for telling us about Zeus tonight.
Yep. Thank you so much, Brian, for taking me up on the challenge. Appreciate it.
You're a rock star, man. Thank you. Bye-bye. Guys, this has been another fabulous episode, of course, of The Soul. And you can, of course, find us on Wednesdays. And you can find us here from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock on This is Mountain Time, every single Wednesday. So make sure to look us up. You know, you can find Roy Pack. Roy, where do they find you on Facebook?
Oh, Another Human, of course.
Another Human,
Another
of course.
Human on Facebook.
Is that what it's called? Is that what your facebook.com/AnotherHuman?
Yep, I'm just another human. I've been another human on the internet since like 1988.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's terrific. Absolutely. And also, you guys catch The Earthship with Roy Pack.
Yep. The Earthship is 9 o'clock on Thursday nights. We are getting ready to move to a new time to 8:30. And we'll be having some of your favorite indie artists and a few you haven't heard of yet and talk about their music. And hopefully have a good time with you listening to that.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And of course, you can find me on Wednesdays, Sight Unseen, from 7 until 8 o'clock. So listen to the Sight Unseen and the Soul. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. I'm Danielle Agnew. This is Roy Pack. Catch us next Wednesday and have a great week.
Do what you're doing.